Succession number 26843, Reel 4.
Mr. Lyons, yeah. Reel 4. Now, we got slightly distracted to the bathing and toilet facilities.
Yeah.
What about the actual mess deck itself? I know it's difficult to describe, but can you describe it?
Well, it was very small because of the confined space of the whole thing to start with. I think we ate and slept in the same place. We had to stow. I'm trying to think now whether we had hammocks, where we was using hammocks on that one, or where we had bunk beds. No, I think we had bunk beds. We had bunk beds, and the mess room itself we had was separate. The where we ate that was separate. Now that was in another little room or whatever you call it, a little mess hall that was small. We had very small living quarters where we slept, and where we ate, well, in the mess room, that was small. But they were definitely two separate places, and they was just aft of the engine room. Now the engine room was far bigger than anything else you'd ever seen. That's what took all the room. Well, took the. I don't know how long a LCTR was, but I wish I did know.
Now, what were your duties then on board ship?
Mostly
day to day.
Day to day was just making certain that all the electrics of the ship was running, like even the port and starboard lighting. The electric, there was the cookers, the electric cooker was running, make certain that we had a refrigerator that was on the quarter deck outside, believe it or not, and that had a big padlock on it. I can remember that. Had a great big padlock on it, so we couldn't pinch anything out of it. Just running the everyday life of electrical duties, life was rather straightforward, really. I mean, there was nothing, it was just make
sure. So you weren't on a watch system, or is it?
No, not really. No, we never had a watch system. And not on end.
You didn't have to do other duties.
The other duties I probably did do was if we ever came alongside, you probably pulled in the ropes to off the jetty and things like that. But that's all I can remember of that. We never had much to do with that.
And what about the actual the rockets? Well, did you check the contacts on a daily?
Yeah, you couldn't slide the rockets out. No, you checked the circuits to make certain you would isolate the board. You would isolate the circuit completely, because there's no good trying to test. Make certain that the electrics were working, the switches were all working, but you had to get the master switch off. Make certain the master switch was off, and also the selector switch on the bridge was off. And then you could test the rocket circuitry from there.
And
we never had any instruments. Believe me, we never had any instruments. From what I can remember, it was a 24 volt system, and we had a sort of a tester with a bulb. A 24 volt bulb in it, and it was like a probe thing, and that way. I mean, instruments. No, we never had any testing instruments. Nothing. As I say, the whole rocket was in its infancy. It was in its infancy, right away. From day one, I don't ever remember.
Who told you how to do it? I mean,
nobody. Nobody told us how to do it. Nobody told us how to do it.
So how did you find out? Was it
just trial and error? And this is how it's guesswork. And I knew that when I closed a certain switch, that would energise such and such a thing, and it would cause an electrical impulse, and off it went. And that was it.
Now, so what happened? What's the next thing that happened? You joined the ship at air. Now, do you know what month you joined? Would it be November 43
no.
or? Do you have a date at all?
No, not offhand, I don't know.
And what happened? You were at air, and then you went on these fire engines.
We went to various places, Now, we went to Rosneath, above all places, but I'm trying to think whether that when that was when we went to Rosneath, whether that was after D-Day, before D-Day, or whenever it was, I don't remember. I'm getting lost. But I mean, don't think that for one minute, although that the rockets were used at D-Day, I personally, ours were not called into use. Now these.
We'll come to that. Now, anything else before D-Day?
No, I don't think so.
So you're just doing the training.
Just doing the training, which I'll be honest, which was never really called on. Now,
tell me about the preparations.
Preparations. Well, we've done all this training of like I'm saying, going and range finding, letting off these rockets, and I know what the idea was. I found out since what the idea what all these rockets were going to do.
What was the idea?
The idea of a rocket was at D-Day, which that did happen actually. It did happen. They went in first. They was the first in. Rockets, the Navy were in first. Never mind about the Army going up beaches and things like that. The Navy went in first and paved the way. Now, these rocket ships, they paved the way in as much. When they fired at the beaches and beachheads and set off all the landmines. And that's what they did, mostly. Some of them did, if they did come under fire from the enemy, then they did go in closer, because I'm telling you, as I said before, they had fixed projectiles, so you know they couldn't alter the where the only way they could go in to get closer, you went in closer, and that was it. That you had your range finder, and that was how it.
And that was to fire at things further inland.
Further inland, you had to go in farther. You didn't have any more rocket power to pump it in any farther, and that's how it was done. And they paved the way on D-Day. They paved the way up the beaches for landing craft and other assault craft to come in.
So they were clearing the beaches.
Clearing the beaches. That was the plan.
Tell me, just when did you find out what you were doing on D-Day? I mean, what?
Well, we was on D-Day. We was on our way down towards the south coast, but we got turned back. We never went that far. Whether we were going to be called upon to go to D-Day or not, I don't know. But we was going out. I've been being in Scotland all this time, and then all of a sudden, you're sailing down the west coast of England. You'd be like, well, where are we going? I didn't even know D-Day had started. I mean, honestly, I didn't even know until somebody told me. But we never got that far.
So what happened?
We turned round. Now, this is fine. We turned round and we came back. And we did. Now this is where Rosneath came back into it. I'm pretty certain it was Rosneath. We came back to
Rosneath. Where is Rosneath?
Rosneath is still back in Scotland. It's on the Gairloch, where the submarines are. That's on the Gairloch. Now, I'm pretty certain that we came back to Rosneath and we decommissioned. Now, this was after D-Day. Got to be after D-Day. It got to be. But I can remember we decommissioned and it was recommissioned by the Americans. Now, I can remember this as plain as the nose on the end of my face. I've never seen nothing like it in all my life. They had a band with one of them things that they diggle-doggle up down. And the poor old landing craft was covered in flags. And we all stood there on the side with our bag and hammocks. It was a wooden jetty, and the Yanks went aboard and they ripped the inside. They was ripping it to pieces before it was decommissioned. They brought it all up to date and everything else by the time. But then I stopped in Rosneath for a while.
Now, when are we talking? Is this...
Rosneath, we stopped in the Rosneath. Rosneath was a big base. It was a big Royal Navy base, and it was it was quite a big place. It was, really was. And then...
What were you doing in Rosneath?
Not a lot. Not a lot. Not a lot. Because I wasn't there all that long. Well, not a lot. I got a draft ship then to Liverpool. To another landing craft, to a TLC, not a rocket ship, but a TLC.
TLC standing for...
Well, LCT, with TLC.
Tank landing craft.
Yeah, tank landing craft, could it which way you like.
Now, what was the number of this one?
Now, thereby hangs a tale. It was 8-something, 8-6-something. I'm not certain about that. These are not certain, because there is a tale here. This tank landing craft was in Liverpool docks. It was brand new, and unlike the LCTR, it was driven by petrol engines. Now the LCTR was diesel, obviously. Well, I'd got this draft check on here, and I'd been on the, I don't know, not too late, through 3 days, and the same sort of thing. We're just going to be an electrical check, the electrics and things like that. But anyway, we was called to turn two to load 40-gallon oil drums. And these oil drums were full of petrol. And they was being stowed in the hold. Now, this is a TLC we're talking about now. And... The tide was down. That meant to say the water in the dockyard basin was low. And the only way to get these things aboard was to manhandle them. We were manhandling 40 gallons of petrol down. And this new Jimmy the One, he had an idea that we could lower these things into the hold by sliding them down a ladder. By putting an open oil drum and two men at the top, two men at the bottom, and lowering it down in the hold. Well, it worked well for a couple of times, and then it slipped. It hit me, cut the top off my finger, so I never did sail on this LCT, I never did go on it. Next thing I was in the wheelhouse, or somewhere, and being poured brandy or rum down me, I had to be taken ashore. I'd lost the top of my finger. And I went into the... They took me to the Liver Buildings, where the... sick bay was. Well, by the time they'd finished with me in the sick bay, the LCT had gone. So... I finished up then in a base in Liverpool that was called HMS Dingle. If anybody,
that's a shore station.
A shore station. This is. I'm now ashore now, and I never went to sea again. I'm telling you. I never went. I did, but not to that extent. I never went on another LCT. But anyway, this was a shore station in the by Dingle. Is a little place in Liverpool.
And this is still 1944?
1944, yeah, 1944-45 this would be. Anyway, we went to Dingle.
What were you doing aboard that?
Wait a minute, I'll come to that. Because I couldn't do anything, because my hand was all done up, I sort of... This HMS Dingle was a pub, converted pub, and I didn't do a lot until I then got was moved from there to Preston, which is little farmer up the way place, Preston. Now, they had a big ducks. They got great big ducks at Preston. Now, I never knew this.
Is that still in Liverpool? Or
no, Preston is Preston. 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 They got a big ducks on the side of the River Ribble. Now, I thought, when I got there, I was taken there in a sort of a Land Rover thing, you know. And with all my kit, and I got there, and there was these, like, two, three, maybe more, huts. Oh, quite a jolly sort of load of people they were as well. And I was all felt sorry for me because I got my hand done up. And I stopped there. Now, the object, I stopped there for a long time. But what we did there, once my hand got better, I was not, didn't do any more electrics. That was so, I was just a seaman, although I was getting paid extra, but I was just a seaman. What we did then, the Americans were bringing in landing craft out in the bay, by Liverpool there, Liverpool Bay. We was going out, ferrying them in up the River Ribble, and they was brought them into this big dock, Preston Dock. Now, I never knew Preston had a docks, but they have. And they was LCAs and LCVs. We used to ferry them in. And then during the, now and again, there used to be these cranes used to come in, lift them out the water. And they used to be taken into a great big, well, like a great big shed. I should imagine this shed at some time had a load of timber in it. It was for curing timber. That's what I think happened. And then they was taken off of there, put on articulated lorries. And well, while they were there, we checked them over to see that everything was there. Everything had to be there, because when everything came in, quite a lot of the stuff got robbed. And I mean, that was pinched. And we had to check that everything was on board, every
on the landing craft.
On the landing, on these small landing craft. And that was taken away by transport. And I don't know. I don't know where they went. I've got no idea where they went. Now, I was there for quite a long time. That's where I nearly got married there. That'll tell you how long I was there. I nearly got married, but I didn't. But whether they thought I was getting too homely there or not, I don't know. Because out of the blue, I got moved or drafted right across the other side of England to Grimsby. Now, I can honestly sit here and I say to myself, what the devil did I do in Grimsby? Not a lot. My years in the Navy from D-Day onwards, it was nothing. It was just nothing. It was a big laugh. And that was, funny enough, that was HMS Beaver. And that was another pub. Now, that was nice, that was, because they had all, it wasn't a pub, it was a hotel. And these hotel big dormitory, they was like a great big dormitory. And we all had our little bed, and they all had a screen that closed at night, and they had a nice big mess deck, and we could all go ashore. Every night we go ashore, and we all had a tot of rum. But all we ever did, went down to where there was landing craft in Grimsby, in the basin there, and we're there again. We just checked them over and make certain everything was there, and they was being moved. And after Grimsby, I can't remember much. I think this is where it all fizzled out. I went back to Scotland, and I stopped in Scotland at a big camp, a castle or something, and I stopped there till I was demobbed.
And when were you demobilised then?
When? June 1946.
So that's what takes us through to the end. Now, what do you remember the demobilisation? What did you remember your suit and the rest of it?
Oh yeah, I had. Oh, that was great. Now there again, when I was the, you, we there, That was funny. We was all waiting in this place. Clacken Castle, I think that's what it was called. I'm not that I'll stand corrected on it. It was a castle. I know there was a big castle there, but there was all these big Nissan huts, and we was all in these various groups waiting to be, well, when your number came up, like 67H or 67B or whatever. We used to go down to the mess hall every day and see whether your discharge number was there. And if it was, then you had to report to the regulating office and say your number was so-and-so-and-so-and-so, and then you used to have to get all your kit together, and then they take your kit away, I had to go to Guildford, I went to Guildford in what I stood up in, and Guildford, down there was like going around Marks and Spencer's, it going like around Marks and Spencer's. You was allowed two shirts, again, you were allowed two of everything, except you had one pair of trousers, and you could have what you like. Now, I had a jacket, nice. You could have a suit. Oh, then why? They had a lot of these suits was chalk stripe suits, but no, I had a pair of sort of flannel trousers and a gingery sort of jacket. It was quite nice, really. It lasted ever such a long time. Wore a trilby hat with a feather in it, and that I had, and I suppose that would be June 46, something like that, for June 46, maybe. I can give you the actual dates because I've got them somewhere, and I then was paid, we got £25, that was it, demob money. Now, £25, I mean, you couldn't even go out for that, and that was for 6 weeks. You was allowed 6 weeks' pay, you know, it was just £25. But, of course, I then, when I was demobbed, I reapplied to go back to the electricity company, or the North Met Power Company, and if by chance they didn't want you, that was hard luck, but I was fortunate. I was kept, I came back. I was unfortunate and came back.
And so you had no trouble getting back into your old job? That was
not
your
really,
career,
not really, it? That was it. No, I had no trouble at all, no. And I was lucky there, really.
Did you go back as you were, or did you go back as an electrician?
No, I wasn't an electrician. You couldn't be an electrician until you was 21. But before you was qualified to become an electrician, you had to go out with a fully qualified electrician who supervised you and could see that you was going to be up to doing the electrical job of all sorts of things, whatever came up.
So you had to go back as an assistant first?
Yeah, I went back for an assistant, yeah.
And then did you qualify as an electrician?
I qualified as an electrician, yeah. When I was 21, I was there. You was given £20 to buy tools with, you weren't given the money. You was given, in Finchley, there was a tool shop where you had to, you didn't have to go to that particular shop, but that's, if you said that's where you was going to buy your tools, then the North Met paid them, if you know what I mean. We never had any money. Well, no, we didn't give you any money, no.
Now, how did you feel about your naval service? Would you have liked more action, or were you happy as it was?
I was happy as it was, but because of the, it was rough. It was hard. It was hard because living, like I've said before, living quarters on LCTs and LCTRs, that was hard. But you were paid extra money for it. That was it. You was paid fourpence a day, hard layers money. That's what they called it.
But wouldn't you have lost that when you went to Liverpool, Preston?
No, you still got that. You didn't lose it. No, you never lost anything. No, you didn't lose that. No, you didn't lose it. Although it was, I never lost it, no. But looking back, I was glad to get out. But after a few years of being out, I wish I was had been able to do other parts in the Navy, because you had the opportunity to sign on when you was demobbed. But I didn't want to sign on and go back into landing craft and things like that. But no way. And I thought, well, I can't go all through this retraining and things like that all again. And I thought, but looking back now, I think that anybody, peacetime Navy, now, they're a fool not to go into it for peacetime Navy now. Anybody would now, and I wish I had done it as a younger man, and I wouldn't be sitting here now. I'm pretty certain I wouldn't have been. I wouldn't have been sitting here now. I'm pretty certain of that.
Thank you very much.